My name is Jennifer Dorn, and this is Johnny Lerner. Again, trying to figure out exactly what happened in Washington during the last 2 weeks and where we go from here. It's important to kind of put it into some kind of historical perspective, if we can, of looking at the past year and where we are now to see, to understand our strength a little better and how we can build something off of it. For one thing, the situation with the war in Vietnam is more critical than it's ever been. I know last fall when I was in Algeria, I met with the Vietnamese, and they felt that at this point they are really unable to move any further ahead in victory unless the offensive is on two fronts, which means in this country as well as in Indochina. And even though the last 2 weeks had an incredible effect, I think, as far as is showing a real fighting spirit, a real building of a revolutionary force in this country, their situation is still certainly critical. At the same time, the situation exists in this country that more than ever before, the huge majority of the American people are really against the war, that almost no one believes what Nixon says anymore about what's happening in Indochina. And it's like a real open space that we have right now to do a lot of work, to get a lot of strength, especially with like election year coming up next year, which means a lot more freedom for us before, after elections, when there's a consolidation and there'll be a lot heavier repression. Also, in the last year, our movement has really grown, on the one hand, by the existence and the building of a really solid underground, the Weathermen Underground, which has had its first birthday, I guess it was in March. So it's a little over a year now that an underground has existed, which has really changed the strength that we have to move from. With a group of sisters and brothers making a conscious decision to build a network underground that could move into armed struggle. And kind of a sign of their strength is the fact that they could go, you know, into the Capitol and place a bomb and say, here we are in America fighting. You know, what better way to show a victory for the Indochinese fighting? And it seems that it's real important to me that a lot more people understand it as our underground. You know, it's not something that's isolated or removed or some far-out people, but they're people just like us. And it's hard for me in a lot of ways to understand that people tend to look at them as being very unreal, because with my sister Bernadine being one of the leaders in the underground, it's obviously very, very close to me. And trying to have more of a consciousness that we have another arm to move from, you know, a really strong arm that can move and strike and be gone and not be found, which is a real thing to be excited about. As far as people like us go, I think the past year was a real time of people going deep into their communities, of there being no kind of mass organization, no kind of national network for people to relate to, and a real sense of people saying, you know, wait a second, I have to see how I'm living, how I'm relating to people, what our lives are about, kind of a period of people taking a breath and dealing with day-to-day struggles of how we're going to survive, how we're going to build all kinds of institutions on the land and in the cities that are going to enable us to be new kinds of women and men, which is what being revolutionary is really all about. And I think that though there was a lot of despair that the movement wasn't really visible, it was just for those who were only superficially related to it that saw it as such. Because what happened was that when we came out this spring, and especially the last 2 weeks, there was a real deepening of our struggle because of the past year of people having, you know, really gone into areas where they lived and built up a much better base. So that when people came to Washington amidst all the confusion and the lack of leadership there and that what seemed to a lot of us like strange politics being put out, politics based a lot on guilt and not dealing with us as a revolutionary movement, even out of all this chaos, a real strength and a kind of a lot of enthusiasm for here we are in much stronger than we thought we ever had been.
In our talking about what went down in Washington in the last couple of weeks, in the talking that we've done since the demonstrations are over, since we went into tactical retreat, as people talked about it, we've really been amazed, you know, to understand the myriad ways that people's strength and creativity came out in the situation, because people who were there will know that coming into that scene was really mind-blowing and shocking, and just about everybody that I know came into Washington and spent the first 10 or 12 hours or the first day that they were there completely zapped out, because here seemed to be this huge, massive, but also out-of-control kind of situation with a whole tactical conception of disrupting traffic in the city that had been, on the one hand, published beforehand very publicly and openly, and also when people got into looking at the particular targets and particular the real plans that had been made, people found out that they really were lacking in terms of a real sense of how to move and how to be able to survive and not get busted or not get beat or whatever it was that people wanted to do. And the thing that's amazed us, that amazed us constantly through the experience, was the way that thousands and thousands of kids who had come with a whole range of kind of consciousness in their own heads about what they were coming to and what it meant and how complex or how together an action May Day was, people just rose to the occasion and just assumed leadership for themselves and for the people that they had come with, right in that vacuum of leadership and in that vacuum of organization. And I mean, there's a lot of stories that are kind of important stories. There's stories about different groups of people that came in more or less together regional groupings of a couple of hundred people who came into the land at West Potomac Park, where we were for a week, and realized that the park itself was this kind of huge and amorphous situation, and just set themselves up, put their tents around in a circle around a campfire, and began to go do reconnaissance in the city about their targets. A lot of regions came and discovered really what their targets were like and pitched those targets and developed a whole new tactical sense about how to move. People in the situation in the first couple of days on the land, there was this argument that was going on, or this kind of philosophical problem or something about nonviolence and militants and sitting down in the streets versus mobile tactics and stuff like that. And what we discovered is that, by and large, when people actually got into the situations in the streets, people realized that they didn't want to sit down, they really didn't want to be busted, and people developed right there in the context of that battle, right there in that city that was under siege for a week and a half, a whole sense about how to move, how you really disrupt a city, how you build functioning kind of organic groups that can move in the streets, and the kind of tactics that people developed were really was a whole like strong kind of product that happened in people's minds. You know, there was a lot of fighting that went on in Washington, but it's important for us to like understand it, engage it, because it was fighting that wasn't directly hand-to-hand combat with the police, because people understand at this point that's something that doesn't lead to preserving ourselves. You know, that's something that gets people hurt, that's something that gets people busted. But people instead understood all kinds of ways to disrupt the city by stopping traffic, by turning over cars in the streets, by setting barricades on fire, by going to places where there weren't any pigs deployed and pulling disruptive actions there in those places. And The other thing that about the way that people came in regional organizations, and it didn't happen universally in the action, but it's like a sign. It was a sign in a sense of what has to happen in the future and of the importance of people coming to national actions in groups of people that have worked together and know each other, is that people really dealt with all the total heavy problems of survival in that situation collectively and in their groups of who they came with. You know, when we were kicked off the land on Sunday morning and all of a sudden there was 25,000 of us that had no place to go, people just dealt with it. People, different groupings of people, decided they were going to just go and take the different universities or go to different churches that had been arranged to be movement centers for like 50 or 100 people, but instead groups of 2 or 3,000 people would just go and decide that we needed it and we had to do it, you know. And people, the way that people rescued each other from the pigs when people were busted, and the way that people, after the bust had started happening, you'd go down to the courthouse and you would run into hundreds of people who were there, each one with a list of 5 or 10 people that they knew, that they'd worked with, that they came to D.C. with, that who they were arranging bail for collectively and really taking care of their own. I mean, it's a real sign of it's a real product of what this last year has been, this year of quiet entrenchment and deep kind of work, you know. And the kind of changes that went on in people's heads at every point in the course of the 2 weeks in Washington are just fantastic kinds of changes in terms of people's spirit. In the jails, I've never seen people's spirit higher in the jails. There's one story about a group of 300 men who were being held in a precinct house, 15 or 20 people to a one-man cell, which is really basically impossible situation where people had to take turns standing up for hours and sitting down because there's just not enough room for everybody to sit down. And the pigs weren't allowing people to have medication or food or anything like that, and so it was a very tense kind of situation. And what happened was that people decided to all like be quiet, you know. Everybody, all these 300 people in this one cell block just were quiet, and one by one through a whole night, one by one they went around and each person in the quiet so that they could be heard told stories to the rest of these 300 people just about how they got busted or where they came from or what they were doing or who they were in the revolution, you know. Just a real like exchange and a real kind of spirit that came out of that. There were numerous instances in the jails of people who were ripped off or attempted to be ripped off by the pigs and put into solitary for either talking militantly or whatever, you know, and people really responded and pulled together around those kinds of things. It's that kind of stuff. It's those kind of strengths and that kind of creativity that we saw all the way through the experience that really leads to a sense about the future, you know. It leads us to an understanding that really where we have to go is by continuing to build links and networks and ties among people at a level, at the local level, at the level where people work constantly and live, and kinds of ties that are going to enable people to continue to build strong regional networks and structures and programs and stuff, and also come into situations of a large national focus and run and operate in those situations, in those national situations, also in a regional way, and taking care of each other, taking care of people you know. It's as if Washington was really a very crude first battle of the People's Army of this country, you know. It was very crude and it was very haphazard in a lot of ways, but it's when you look at all the strong things that went on that came out of people in that situation, you get a sense of where we have to move to build that army and build that struggle.
One of the, I think, really hard positions during the time in Washington was the whole thing of consciousness about women and about women's liberation. The first week that we were on the land, I know there was about 75% men, about 25% women, and it was a scene such that a woman could not walk around alone on the land. And we tried at first to set up a women's center and to to bring women into it, to plan the Women's March, which happened on Sunday. And there was an incredible amount of frustration that we weren't able to reach most of the women on the land and deal with any of the chauvinism at all that was there, and that was really becoming a very divisive thing for people. I think what really pulled everything together was the fact that when we were kicked off the land, much ahead of when anyone had planned, the first thing that happened was an offensive thing, and that was the Women's March, which began and went all up and down the streets of Washington, and which really shook up a lot of people who were surprised that women came together in a real strong way and were not afraid and knew how to protect each other, and how at that moment it was real important that we strike a blow, even if it meant our walking arm in arm with a couple of thousand sisters in the streets. You know, that was our saying, look, we're not afraid of you. You know, we're angry and we're here to stay and fight. I think looking back at the first week on the land, in particularly like the problems around women, our general attitude at first, which I think was completely wrong on our part, was that these aren't the political people. You know, these are just people who came to crash and came for the rock concert. And in fact, I think the people that were there the whole week on the land and that were still there last Thursday marching on the South Vietnamese embassy were the same people. You know, that in effect, they're the people that we always refer to as the sea, you know, that we see as the basis a lot for building a youth revolution in this country. And one of the things that I think a lot of us learned out of it, and particularly in the Women's Sisters, that we really haven't found the way yet to talk to those sisters and brothers that were on the land to really build, to get out of our rhetoric, to really build, you know, a base, because those are the people that were fighting the hardest in the streets, and they were fighting because of the whole way their lives are and how they view the state and a thousand other things. But at the same time, they were not going to come into any of the forms that we set up, you know. We stayed in Washington until yesterday, and what happened this weekend was that there was a retreat that was held by the so-called Mayday Collective, what was kind of left of it, and people who had stayed in Washington to really go over for a couple of days the whole thing and what had happened and trying to understand where to go from here. And what essentially came out of that, first of all, was the idea that any other action that happens has to be one which says that we are a revolutionary movement, which in effect will increase the consciousness about the war, but isn't going to be a one issue, you know, the war, in bringing people to Washington by any means possible, by guilt, by whatever, you know, of just getting in to get numbers, but instead has to be a kind of politics that talks about our culture, that talks about black consciousness, you know, that is everything that we are trying to fight for. And that those all have to be brought in, because we don't want to repeat, you know, as good as it was, we wouldn't try and repeat the same kind of thing. It would have to be on a higher level. Also things like the fact that the action which happened involved almost 14,000 people getting arrested, which says a lot about the whole strategy of filling the jails. You know, that all these things are being talked about now. And what essentially was decided by the group in Washington was that a call would be put out, that there would be some kind of meeting within the next 3 weeks of people from regions. And in essence, the Mayday Collective was dissolved, that it didn't exist, because it would have to come out of the people who went there. You know, the forming of a new kind of thing to plan some kind of national focus to keep up, to sustain the energy that we started in Washington. But I think that it really, any other event that happens or any other form that's creative has to come out of where people live, has to come out of the very basis, that we're not at the time when we can say, well, let's form a national organization, because it's not there yet. You know, it's going to come because of our communities having grown strong and starting to link up with each other. And it's a real hard thing to talk about regional representatives when, in fact, we don't have regions. You know, they're really just maps and lines that were drawn on a map, and people who've never even seen each other were suddenly supposed to elect a representative. You know, all of the structure that was in May Day didn't fit to how our lives are and how we're building things. But the fact still remains that another thing is going to be built, you know, and it's up to us to somehow, through the summer, really sustain the things that we learned in Washington and bring them back to the areas that we live in, so that we can really create, you know, a second May Day that's more militant, that is more us, and it really comes from the people who went there, you know, comes from the real base. And that's like a huge responsibility for people to take in their own areas. It means having a very definite consciousness about starting to find out who are those people in the other cities that you suddenly were running in the streets with and were supposed to have, you know, be able to put your life in their hands. That it's really a very hard time for us because there's an incredible amount of work that we have to do, and we have to learn how to do it in a very new way, because none of us really have any kind of blueprint for how you go about building new connections and new networks with people in an area, let alone in terms of the nation. The people that I see as building an army are the kinds of people and the people that were represented by the 20,000 people that were in Washington, which you can call freaks. I don't know what you want, the label you want to put on them, but people who are living in collectives in the cities or on the land, who are, I think what you're saying in all of it is a question about the working class. Maybe that's...
Yeah, go ahead.
See, I think there's like a real distinction between talking about building a general base that is against the war in this country that includes all kinds of people, you know, which is in essence the peace treaty idea did, of reaching everyone from very straight middle class people to what you call working people to liberals to every kind of possible class of people, which is what in essence the politics of May Day began, you know, as being a coalition of people with all different kinds of politics coming together because they hated the war, which is incredibly important at this time in history, that as many people as can be turned onto the left in this country are. But I think at the same time, within that huge framework, you have to see that our lives are about building a revolutionary movement in this country. And the success of any kind of large coalition of different kinds of people depends on how strong we are, you know, how strong a revolutionary movement is being built in this country. Which I see, for example, that the revolutionary leadership in this country is essentially rests on one hand in blacks and Chicanos and third world groups as being the strongest revolutionary force, and on the other hand, young people. I don't think you can limit it to street people or people in colleges, because I think what our lives have been about is that becoming a revolutionary is a process, you know, of going to college. I mean, people learn at different times in different ways, but most of us came from very straight homes, you know, and had great ambitions of being good professional people or, you know, respected citizens, kind of like our parents. And because of the time we grew up in and first learning about the war and learning about black power, about civil rights, about the Cuban Revolution, that we've all undergone a process where we can't live in this society anymore like it is. And I think we always have to see, we always have to keep it as open as possible to reaching young people.
People on the left don't like lately haven't paid enough attention to things like the Gallup poll and what the position of the left is in this country right now, when 73% of the people in this country want a date set for withdrawal from Vietnam and are angry, you know, just angry about the war and respect and are in massive numbers, working people and middle-class people and our parents and all kind of people are into a whole new kind of respect of the militancy of the movement and the anger that those of us who've been struggling against the war for years have been struggling from, that anger that's been the basis of our energy, you know, that at this point the potential for really opening up the left is like greater than it's ever been. And the fact also that next year is an election year, and that as we learned very well in 1968, election years are times when people are even more open than ever, you know, when we have much more of a kind of leverage with the government because of the way that American or whatever imperialist politics is so malleable just in terms of who they think is going to get the vote, you know, that on the one hand there's a major kind of objective, which is building the strongest and most militant anti-war movement possible in this country, ending the fucking war, you know, that's a major primary but also short range in the sense of maybe the next year or two kind of objective. But that, and see, that's not separated from building a kind of, and also a very, very broad movement in this country that feels connected to and is very much in support of a revolution. You know, will always support or will always feel connected to the struggles of those people, black people and brown people and young people, those people that are into the most militant and the most left-wing kind of politics. And it's the understanding of how we have to reach out in every possible kind of way to all people in this country is like understanding that the revolution is about all people in this country, and that it's finally it's going to be all people who build it and create it in based on the values that they want, you know, and the way they want to live and stuff like that. And it's you know, I don't think it's possible at this point to look at this country or make some kind of class analysis of this country in the way that it's been done in like a classical Marxist way or something like that. You know, I think that it's very difficult to define in a simple sense like the layers of society and the working class and stuff like that. Everything is so much complicated by questions of nationalism, black and brown nationalism, and the Chicano movement in the Southwest, and I mean all the different things that exist, and also the struggle of young people, which in certain ways is a nationalist kind of struggle, is a cultural kind of struggle, and a struggle of people trying to be a people, you know, and trying to be self-conscious as a people. I think it's that the old kind of breakdowns that we've all made at different times really lack a, you know, they're like very two-dimensional kinds of things. They don't embody the real complexity and like fascinating spectra of what this revolution is really about and what change and movement and motion in this country is really about. And it's not a question of like trying to build an anti-war movement in the way that the Trots build an anti-war movement of like just only talking to people about ending the war. We have to always be talking to people about the fact that what we're into is building a new society. What we're concretely doing right now is building that new society, you know? The point that I'm trying to make about that is that it's open in a way that it's not that people are like embracing the left at this point, but that people are open to us in a way that they haven't been, you know. People, just the responses of the citizens of Washington during May Day were amazing, you know. People like, there was one story of some kids who were like panhandling at DuPont Circle, and they got stopped by a bunch of pigs who were going to bust them, and then all of a sudden this group of kids and pigs was surrounded by 20 people, office people, who said, let those kids go, they have to get money, they have to eat. Those, you know, and people's responses to the vets action which are really heavy kind of things. You know, it's not like people are joining the revolution right and left. People who aren't, you know, are not already like revolutionaries, but people are very much open to the kinds of things that we're saying now.
Also, I think that you have to look at it in an international sense, you know, and not just how it's affecting people in the country, but what it meant to people in, like, Indochina, to see that, you know, there was like over 20,000 people in the streets in Washington. You know, it had an incredible effect because it was, you know, it was saying that people here are ready to fight, are starting, you know, that it's really happening here. And that's incredibly important to them, you know. And it also started off huge demonstrations in London and Paris.
Not to mention the money crisis in Europe, which has apparently relates to the fact that all the newspapers and stuff in Europe showed pictures that made Washington look like it was completely under siege and an insurrection, and suddenly the dollar has lost 3.7% of its value in the last 2 days. You know, that's a serious blow, in fact.
And a lot of what's happened that May broke out of was that certainly we have to be aware of repression, you know, because it's a real thing to white kids for the first time, you know, over the past year. But it's not like you can never build a revolutionary movement if your whole outlook is on how much repression is it going to bring down. The whole idea of having an underground, you know, which begins bombings and learns, you know, is learning the technical skills of bombings, which, you know, as they've said in communiques, have done as little damage as a bee sting, you know, that it's not like being able to blow up huge military installations, you know, but is a process whereby more and more people in this country are understanding how we can move, you know, and it could have been called adventurous for them to go underground and to begin doing this, but in effect, you know, I think more, for example, people who read carefully the communique that came after the bombing of the Capitol building, you know, it was addressed in such a way that almost anyone who was against the war, no matter how much they hated what actually happened, you know, and would condemn it, had to partially understand that this was done out of real outrage at what's happening in Indochina.
We really have reached a new level of people's consciousness about how to move and how to fight and how to build mass militant actions and stuff like that. You know, it's certainly a very different action from the days of Rose, which wasn't a mass action at all, which was three, 400 people. You know, and it's different than October 69 or last May or the Pentagon or Democratic Convention or any of those, because it's just every new action has held a whole new consciousness about where we're at, how far we've come, our own history that's embodied and our own future that's embodied in every action we do. The only similar situation in terms of mass arrests that ever happened in Washington was the 68 riots. And even though the conditions were just ridiculous and the confusion was rampant and stuff like that in the courts, we were able to get out faster, cheaper, sooner than people in that situation. I mean, there's no doubt that the privileges that come along with being white still work for us, and we should continue to use them at every point as much as we can, you know. But they're also getting, you know, they're getting less and less. They're getting, that space is, the more far out, and the heavier we get, the more seriously we're taken by the government, the more that space, you know, gets cropped off.
I think a good, just a little example of that whole same thing of, like, being able to understand that we still have an incredible amount of movement and yet we're not always going to have it is what happened with women in Washington. Because the first day on Monday, when I was running with a group of women, it was like we were invisible. You know, at first we got kind of mad, you know, because things would really, I mean, we'd be really out there trying to do stuff, you know, and they would just run right by us and grab any man that happened to be walking by, which we very quickly, you know, realized was a great thing that we could use, you know, because we were almost invisible. And we were able, as a whole women's group running together of like 15 to 20 women, you know, remain unbusted and being able to do a lot of things for 2 hours. But by Tuesday, when we had a group of 40 women go out, you know, we had a helicopter over us from the time we left the women's center. It was like they very quickly understood they were not afraid to really beat us, you know, but it was a real, their understanding. And that's kind of the thing of what's happening to the whole movement. At the same time, I really still think even the second day when they were interesting us, that on first glance, just looking and seeing a woman and a white woman, we still had an edge to move off of, you know, and to be able to get away. You know? Well, I mean, I can't give a line that says that this is the Weathermen line, you know, because Weathermen is underground. But I think, you know, I can speak just from my situation of being in Algeria and being with Leary and being with the Panthers there, that there's a lot that was right and there's a lot that was wrong in what happened between Eldridge and Leary, if you just want to put it to narrowing it to those two, that on the one hand, the changes that Leary has gone through is the fact, it leads to the fact of why he was freed by the underground and why he was seen as being important, that in effect he was a real part of our history, you know, in changing thousands and thousands of kids in this country is a beginning step of understanding about the society and about our parents and about relationships, you know. But what happened to him in jail, and what was further developed the time that he lived with the underground in this country and then being in Algeria, was his realization that his cult or his following alone, which just believed in turning on and dropping out, was very degenerate, you know, was in essence just continuing the society as it exists, you know, and was not in any way that there's no really such thing as internal freedom if you can't change the system outside, you know, which is a lot where Leary was at when I was there. It was just like after 3 weeks and I came home, I suddenly realized that we had never once talked about taking acid, you know, which like seems strange in looking back at it because you think you'd want to relate all of your trips to him, you know, and really find out what happens when he trips, you know. But our whole minds were this, he had this incredible thirst to understand everything that's happened, you know, in the past 10 years and really put it into some kind of perspective and really... What's so funny? Huh? Oh. I mean, like, you go into, at the time he and Rosemary were living in this hotel in Algiers, and I went into their room, and it's this totally psychedelic room, you know, with the incense and the colors and the posters, you know, and there he and Rosemary are on the bed reading Kim Il-sung, you know, and wanting you to sit down and go over and really talk, you know, and that's really where they're at. And I think a lot of the condemnation that came out on them by Eldridge was not understanding that people have learned to respect acid and respect drugs and understanding the difference that roles that it's played in the black community and in our culture, you know, that I don't know anyone that's moved to the point of seeing themselves as having a revolutionary consciousness that just goes and trips all the time and understands that if you trip, you're going to have a revolution, you know. People have developed a real respect for things like acid, you know, that it's a thing that is not in itself going to, you know, allow us to have a revolution. That I don't think was expressed in that statement a lot. On the other hand, it comes out of a real intensity, a real urgency that the Panthers in Algeria feel, because the first thing that hits you when you go to Algeria is how incredibly hard it is to survive in exile. You know, that the feeling of being removed and isolated from what's happening in this country is just overwhelming. When we got there in October, the last Panther paper they had gotten was in June. you know, which was because of the mail being ripped off and stuff, but just, you know, saying what's happening, you know, we want to be there, you know. And a lot of that, of the whole thing of we must be cold-blooded revolutionaries or whatever the statement was, comes out of that, you know, which is in a lot of it's right, you know, that we do have to have a new seriousness that I think came out in Washington, a real seriousness that you know, having a revolution is not a game. You know, like, as much fun as people paint the fact of being, like, for example, underground in this country and how great it is that you can live like you want to and walk by the pigs, it's still like living under a daily tension of, am I going to get caught today? You know, that real seriousness is something that is just starting to come out in our movement. Does that answer that all? About what? Right. See, I think. Right. I think a lot of those people at the rock concert were actually in the streets. Because I don't think that, you know, there must have been. Sure.
There's no, you know, there's no doubt that there's tremendous kind of tensions and contradictions and shallowness in certain facets of youth culture. But there's also no doubt that the fact that we are building in the process of building a culture that's different, that is very much, at least in our highest kind of aspirations about it, is very much counter to the culture that we come out of in this country, is an incredible source of strength for us. And it's really, I mean, I feel that people who understand themselves to be revolutionaries have to understand a responsibility to change and shape that culture and deal with the sexism and the racism and the looseness and the unseriousness of that culture. But there's also that, you know, in the most raw and unsophisticated terms, that culture embodies all the values that all of us in our just earliest personal kinds of rebellion against our parents and our schools and stuff like that went through, you know, are going through. And it's, you know, there's constant problems when you're doing organizing or whatever, you know, at any kind of level, there's constant things or the hassle between the mellow heads and the politicos and how you have the fact that we want to have revolutionary music, but also the total freak out that even people who sing songs that are very political and very much about what the struggle is about do it via Columbia Records and are billionaires. You know, I mean, that's a drag and it's a hassle and it's something that has to be worked out. But it's the existence of youth culture in the broad way that it exists isn't something to despair about so much as something to understand how we can move into it and ourselves all be like artists and all be creators of that culture too and help shape it.